Blog Talk Radio.
Battle you've won. I am who you say.
Because I know who I am. Hallelujah. Come on.
These are important truths that we are gleaning and we are processing and we are embracing so that the enemy cannot deceive us about the God we serve. And so as we look at the God we may not know, we're looking at some personalities, some insight of his presence, of his power, of his purpose for our lives from another level, from a different perspective. You know, you can look at a picture and you can see one thing, but if you change the angle and say you stand above the picture and you look at it, you see something slightly different, maybe more profound. You may see more of the picture than you were able to see when you stood up close to it. And that's where we are. We're going from a different perspective. God has said over this ministry, come, come, that word, come. And so it was a definitely a personal, it was an intimate invitation, come. And I thank God that we heard it and we have responded to it. And part of our response is making time for him in the things that he wants to download in our life, if you will. I love the using these modern terms to describe an eternal or an ancient of the ancient one and the things that he does. And yet he's relevant then, he's relevant now, and he's relevant in the future because we're learning that he is eternal and we get a better glimpse of eternity and time when we open our minds to receive his conversation that's all around us regarding the scope and the span of who he is. And even then, we can't fully embrace it. We still can't wrap our minds what's beyond the cosmos, what's beyond the universe and the galaxies. How many galaxies are there? And it doesn't matter, they're without number, but the important part is he made them all and he dwells in them all. He says there's not a building that can hold him. However, there is a temple that he has chosen to house himself in, and that is us. And so that temple often needs to be maintained, upgraded, home improvement. Excuse me, it needs to expand to meet the presence that God has in our life. And it is always the same, and yet it requires us to make room for it. Because the more he gives us, he says he would pour out his blessings, and you won't have room enough to receive them. But we hear that and we rejoice in that. But now the next question is, then, Lord, what should I do with them? Lord, you have given them to me for a reason, because you created me to give you glory. How do I give you glory in those blessings that I don't have room enough to receive, but yet you gave them to us? And so these are the things that he said, if you come and you listen, he said, I will show you great and marvelous things. And so we're looking at the inside of a door. The door has been opened, these great and marvelous things. And so as the author, David Jeremiah, goes down the list of the person, the personality, the provision of God in our life, for our life, on our life, through our life, we will begin to view our life as not our own, which is what we're supposed to do. However, how often do we decide in our human existence and understanding, well, you know, it is my life, and so therefore, you know, I have a few preferences that you know, I don't mind doing what God tells me to do, but I do prefer it to do it this way or that way or the other. And as we come up hither, we will find that the only way we desire, the only thing we need, the only thing that will delight and satisfy is doing it his way, doing it to give him glory, doing it where the prayers of the saints offer that I decrease and he increase. That's us making more room for him and for the blessings that he is pouring upon us and seeking what he would have us do to them and with them. And so as we are looking at the God you may not know, we, in order to do and to steward the blessings that God has given us, the gifts that God has given us, the anointing that God has given us, the provision that God has given us, the purpose that God has given us, then we need to know something more about his character. And I say something more because I don't think we can ever get all of it. That's why it will take an eternity of just being with him that will be revealing, that will reveal to us the fullness of God. So as we look at these personality characteristics, attributes of God, we've come to the place of the goodness of God. We've seen the knowing the powerful God, and then that's knowing, just waking us up to the power of God, to the priority of seeing him all around us, the priority of identifying and knowing, but identifying, that's him, that's part of the way he does things. So often you may hear people say, you know, it doesn't take all of that, but as we come to know him, it took all of that. It takes more than that. It takes our all and all. And we are given this wonderful attribute of God about God's goodness, but it is seen in his patience with us. And so he patiently, with loving kindness, he draws us because he understands how frail and fragile we are. And he so loves us and desires us to prosper and be of good health. And, you know, if you do anything rushing or in excess, just dump it all over on it, oftentimes is not going to be utilized as effectively as it should. And so he says precept upon precept, I will guide you, I will lead you, I will teach you. And as he does, we are in a place to now identify, oh, that is God. You know, remembering who he is and his personalities and his attributes, his characteristics. That's how he does a thing. And Christ told us, when you see me, you see the Father. And we see the humility in which he served us and the great way in which he came to bring us a hope. And that is the same thing that we are to do. And one of the ways that will assist, empower, and fuel us to do this is to know the goodness of God. To remember, you know, the song says, when I think about all he's done, you know, and my soul shouts hallelujah, let my feet walk to establish peace, let my hands build to build the kingdom. So when I think about it, you know, and as my soul rejoices, let it fuel my human body and my spiritual body to be more in harmony with him, to seek a new place, a closer place, a more a top priority place. I would say in a more powerful place, but, you know, we get it when we get him, but to understand what it is and how it is. So knowing the good God, knowing a God, a good God, is coming out of Psalms 52:1. So I pray someone will get that scripture. I think they call it the scripture reference, Psalms 52:1. And as we learn, we grow. And one of the things that the book on Wednesday we are learning from, and it always says the reference, but it's letting us, this is the spiritual biblical reference. This is where you can go and find the root of the thing, the reason for the thing that has been given to us by the all-knowing God, the God eternal, the God unchangeable, the God all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. So if you have Psalms 51:1,
I have, if you can. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, let's have it, yes.
Okay, Psalms 52:1.
Yes.
And it says, okay. Why do you boast of all the trouble you stir up, O mighty one, when the constant, unfailing love of God is what truly lasts? And that's from the Voice Bible.
From the what?
The Voice Bible.
Okay, does anybody else have another version?
I do.
The Voice. Okay.
This is the King James Version. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continuously.
There you go. That's the King James Version. Yes. Y'all know I love the King James. Because it really identifies the word that we're looking at. Not that the other scripture doesn't, but it gives us another word for the word that we're looking at. Not a word from the word. Amen. And so it's
Amen.
Like, why do you boast? You know, you need to see the goodness of the Lord. And you know, we call things good. I love the way the author starts off with, you know, what is a good person? And people often say it, that there's a whole, actually, religious doctrine that says Jesus was a good man. He was just a good man. And the author shares, you know, that, and I ask you, what do you think a good person is? How would you describe a good person? Anybody can just answer. How would you describe a good person?
Oh, excuse me, this is Pastor Nora Wood.
Yes.
I would say a good person is a person who has a sense of purpose, integrity, is caring and compassionate toward others, put other people before themselves. You know, and it's true, they have a love for themselves, but God's people want to see other people happy and excited by love, by life.
Okay. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And generally, that's what we think.
No, sir, you're welcome.
Oh, okay. Yes. There's sometimes a delay. So it's not that we're speaking over you or interrupting. You know, it's just a delay. And this is low tech. This is Zoom. This is Friday morning low tech, okay? Old school on the telephone, okay? It endures continuously. And that's what's true about most people that are good people. Is it continuous? Can they do it no matter what? And generally, there is some limit. At some point that they can't do it. And if it's only the point of death, they can't do it anymore. Whereas God, he doesn't have that point. He doesn't have that limit. He continues. He continues, and he does so much more that we often don't understand it. And so as a result, we don't act like it. But I love it when he says God is good to the good as well as to the bad. I love this one statement that the author shares. He says, some people wonder why God blesses everyone, the good and the bad alike, because there are times we're not going to necessarily bless the bad. Now, we may go a certain, you know, a certain point and hope they get better and all of that, but we're not going to give our all to them. And he gave us, he gave them our all. And so the author shares to remember how God disperses his goodness, we have to understand the personality and the characteristic and the attributes of God and then embrace it and then become it in the earth realm. He says he gives some of his goodness to all people. He gives some of it to everybody and all of his goodness to some people. That's us. While none of the people deserve any of his goodness. That's them or us. And so when we get that under our, in our spirit, you know, under, in our heart, when we understand that, that's who God is. And so that's hard to give your good to all people, everybody, without limit, without condition. But that's what God does. And so it often looks as though, well, he wouldn't do that, or that's the devil, or why did this happen? But God said he gives his goodness to, he gives some of his goodness to all people, and then he gives all of his goodness to some people, and that's us. So to realize we get all of the goodness of God, all of the goodness of this eternal God, this all-powerful God, this almighty God, this unchangeable God, this faithful God, this loving God, this forgiving God. He gives us all of his goodness. And so when we hear this term goodness, you know, we think of these attributes of, you know, being grateful, basic integrity, all of these things, nice person who wants to do good to people, better than average in their desire to, in their fellowshipping and in their interaction with individuals. But he goes so much beyond that. And we can't often, I just can't see it. Or I just can't do it. I'm just not there. And he understands that. Remember how gently he teaches us from precept to precept. It's like, but now today I need you to know about my goodness. And it's continuous. It's not on your good day. It's not when you got money or you feel good, or it's when you don't feel good. It's when you think. You know how you'll say some people, well, they're not having a good day. Okay. But then the Lord says, remember, you know, this is the day I have made. So you rejoice in it. Joy in it. Help me over there. For it, what is it? Yeah. For it and in it, give thanks. For the day and in the midst of the day, no matter what is going on, you give thanks for it and speak it as I have, that it is good, because I have given you all my good. All of my goodness he gives to some people. And we are the recipient of that. God's goodness is like his other attributes. They're absolute and they're pure. There is no changing. There's no varying. They're unchangeless. They are changeless. Yeah. Unchanging and changeless. His goodness and his and all of his attributes are absolute and pure. That's not 99.99% pure like ivory soap. That is 100% 100%, perfect, perfected, without a spot of blemish. And then remember, this is what he has promised to do for and to us. And we have to embrace that truth so that we can receive what he is doing in us. And we won't always trade it or set it aside for who we think we are or who we think we have a right to be, because after all, I got a right to that. The only thing we have a right to, as this part of the reading was saying, the only thing that we have a right to is damnation. That's the only thing we have earned. That's the only thing that we have a right to. But because of Christ, that is not something we will have to endure. However, it is something that should motivate what we do, because it gives us a place where mercy, and he shares this so often in Scripture, and we're going to read some of the Scriptures that include the goodness and mercy of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and follow me in that they surround me, but also follow me when I leave. I should have left goodness and mercy in someone's life. I play it forward. What he's done for me, I release to other people in my humility to serve them and to seek God's glory in them and for them. So no matter what you've done, what they've done, what I've read or heard or whatever the report is, my first thought is to have a heart that will bring glory to God. How can you bring glory to God? Be as he has empowered us to be, and that is good and merciful and receiving what we ourselves cannot live without. We cannot live without the goodness and the mercies of God, because other than that, then the only, our end is just as Satan. It's hell and condemnation. So what we are going to learn as we are exposed through Scripture to this attribute of God, of his goodness, and it won't be just a word from now on that we just say and rush through, you know, and the goodness of God. But when we say goodness, we'll pause and just have two thoughts of that powerful goodness that brought mercy to us and to our lives. Because I don't care what kind of life you live or how righteously you have lived, how much like a good man you or woman that you have been, your goodness, all of that is a filthy rag. And a filthy rag, you need to know, not one you dust with. It is not, that's not the filth that's on this rag. Okay, and so the women, you know what a filthy rag is. And so when you think of that, it is that mercy and that goodness that has engulfed us. It's like his wings of goodness wraps around us so that which should come to us cannot reach us. But rather what reaches us is his heart and his goodness. So the author shares not just the fact that it endures forever, it endures continuously. So forever is all time. Continuously is like at every moment of all time. So that's even more precise when the scripture, and I love it, we were in just studying and reading God's word, we have to realize that the words that God used were the words he wanted to use. And so we so often will read a word and decide it means this, like another word that we know. And it's like, no, seek to know what word was he using and why? And we can't necessarily replace it with another. And so part of the understanding of this attribute of God is that not only that his goodness is connected with his grace and his mercy and his perfection. Almost all of his attributes can be thought as an expression of his goodness. But like the one characteristic that comes to my mind more than anything else when I think of the goodness of God is his generosity. This means God is good abundantly. Certain words just bring you to the throne of God. And abundantly for me is one of those words because Christ came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Again, this is the scope of God. And we don't always fully understand what does abundantly mean. We have an original thought or understanding of it, but he's showing us it means so much more because your thought is limited by you and what you can think of and what you can imagine. This is so beyond that. This is like the galaxy of the galaxy, in the galaxy, beside the galaxy, that's over the galaxy, and then some, and then more, because we are limited even by the breath that we speak and the time that we have to list all of the things that do exist. We don't even have the time to say it, okay, because it is of such a grand, I don't even know that they have words, because he's that kind of God, and the Israelites would not say the word because it was so holy, it was so beyond them. They felt they weren't even worthy to say his name, to say it, because it engulfed so many things. They just had no point of reference for none. Even the parting of the sea and the columns and the healing and all of the miracles, they weren't even a drop in the cosmos as it related to the kind of God that they served. So God is, his goodness overflows, and it's extravagant. I love the analogy that the author uses about the prodigal son, and he defines prodigal as meaning lavish, unrestrained, uninhibited, and almost wasteful. And as he was preaching, and he was preaching about the prodigal son in Luke 15, but he realized from the message he had given it the wrong title. When he realized the word, and that's what we're talking about, the meaning of the word that was used. And he said it should have been called the prodigal father, not son. Because the father was the one who, without restraint, he was generous to a fault. He really upset his other son. He lavished so much love on his returning son that he was the prodigal father. He was not inhibited by the fact that where you spent your inheritance, so there's really not much money left for you, but he was still limited by his own natural provisions, whereas God is not. And he is our Father who lavishes in extravagant array his goodness on us. And that gives us that abundantly understanding. It gives us what an overflow understanding. Just we need a greater insight and appreciation of overflow and the blessings of heaven being poured out, that we don't have room, that cup, that is my cup runneth over, and it means so much as it relates to the extravagant nature in which God loves us and with which God wants us to understand his ability to provide for us. And so we see his goodness in his provision, all the things that we need. And that goes even beyond what we even have a clue about. We don't even have a clue to know that we need it. Did you know that your white cells needed, I don't know, beta, kappa, gamma, or something? I don't know what it is. But there are things that we need that we don't even know we need. He has provided. He has provided in his goodness. And then he didn't just give it to us. He gave it to everybody.
Yes.
Some of his goodness he gives to everybody. And even when we possess something, which he does, that we don't know about, he gives it to us. So when we possess something that they don't know about, we should give it to them rather than condemn them for not having it. We need to give it to them. We need to mirror the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ as we as we see a need, we meet a need. And we meet a need that we know about, because some things we don't see, but we are given that insight through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we should do it, not talk about it to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do that or that. Suppose God did that about his goodness. Well, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to let your heart beat today, because you know what? You were really mean to that person, okay? Or even worse, you were the Hitler or you were the Putin or whatever. I don't know if I'm going to let, but he's good. He is good to them. He allows it because he gives them every opportunity, and that's what we're to do. Give people every opportunity to love your Lord, because that's what our heart is, a heart that will glorify God. It will glorify God if what we give in goodness to someone who we, you know, have judged, which we shouldn't, to not be worthy, okay, but if we give that goodness to them and they are converted, oh, there comes the Jonah people, okay, and then don't be mad. Be glad, because now they worship your Father. And that means his kingdom is growing. His kingdom now is meeting, is being released in the earth realm to fight the deception and the wickedness and the evil and the torment that the enemy would rather everybody wallow in. And we won't allow that because of the goodness of God. God is too good not to be God. That's what one of our bishops say. He's just too much like God not to be God. And so it's that thing that we are being exposed to that gives us an understanding of how to have this heart for God, the 33 heart conditions, how to develop, how to allow him to develop this heart within us. And part of it is in this area of goodness. It needs to be an essential part of your spiritual character. And that essential part needs to look like not the good man, Jesus Christ, but the Son, Jesus the Christ. And then when we look at his life, it's better than, it says a good man is better than average. This is beyond that, well beyond that. So as a prodigal father lavishes unrestraint, that means nothing, that you don't have a preference to stop you from doing anything. Nothing keeps you back. Nothing will hold you back from blessing, from loving, from releasing that goodness on someone else. We looked at Psalms 145. The goodness of God is seen in the verses, man shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. So it says, this is that thing when you think about the goodness of God. Here it comes. This is where it comes from. When you utter the memory of your great goodness, we will sing of your righteousness. So in other words, we're going to tell it. We're going to tell and share and declare, but we don't just tell, share, and declare. We're singing it. So melodiously, you know, with a melody, we have put a joy in this thing. And this is what they will see that come. This is one of the fruit of goodness, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And then verse 14 in that psalm says, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. What a powerful verse. Every living thing, I'm sorry, it's a creature, every living thing, God opens his hand because we look to him for life. And if he didn't open his hand and give it to us, we would not have it. So we have a level of life that we can open our hands and release into the lives of other people because of just remembering the great goodness of God. So he gives food to all flesh. His mercy endureth forever. I love that part of the Psalms, and he just says over and over, and I remember when I first read it, it's like, how many times are they going to say it? Okay, because we were trying to read it and get through it and, you know, and his mercy endureth forever. And his mercy. And yet I wasn't focusing on what came before that. And his mercy endureth forever. What was the author sharing? What was the psalmist singing that caused him to remember the great goodness of God? So his goodness towards us in the earth is how we need, or we should exercise that goodness that God has to us by how we live. He can very much, he provides for our need and the needs of all. And his creativity in meeting our need is generous. It's more, it is beyond generosity. You know how you may need a dollar, but your mama give you 10. That's just generous. This is all you need, but this is what I'm going to give you. Generous, a generous heart. And that's what his goodness does. And then his goodness, my God. His goodness is an attribute we all need that revolves around patience, his patience, and his mercy. Grace is getting something we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting something we do. So if we are not judged by our sins, it is because of the mercy of God. The patience of God. How many times did the Israelites do what they weren't supposed to do? And how many times did God forgive them? How many times were they brought to a better place? How many sacrifices had to be made in heaven for us? And we have to remember that, the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But that the heaven had to lose its king for at least 33 years. You know, there are things that heaven endured for us. I can't imagine what the angels felt like when they watched their king being treated the way we treated Jesus Christ. That would just be hard. That would be heart-wrenching to see how disrespectful and how undeservingly he was punished and hurt, and just those are just such mild words for what happened. And yet they had to be witness to that and do nothing. Because remember, they were given charge over him. And they had the power. He said, I can call him my father, and he will send legions of angels and wipe all of this out. And those, trust me, those legion of angels was waiting to come and wanting to do it because of what they were witnessing happening to their king, to the Son, the precious Son of glory. And so that mercy had to come from the Father. And that goodness for us, no, let them yet live and give them an opportunity to repent and come to me. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. The Psalms are so full of the expressions and songs and worship of the goodness of God. We don't have to be nearly so patient with our own sin as God is. But God forgave us generously. He didn't forgive with restrictions on our happiness. He forgave and gives us joy and freedom as though we have never sinned at all. He don't write any in a book to throw back up at us. Now, there are some sins he write in the book for those that, you know, didn't do what they were supposed to do and did not receive the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they will face it again. So we can just put a pin in it at this point. And questions, comments, insights, what revelation did you receive as you were reading this? What new thing about God or the depth of something new about God that you saw? Oh, I know y'all out there. Talk to me.
You know, he gives so many insights on things that, you know, you really don't think about, like when he was talking about tasting and seeing and how the Lord gave us taste buds to enjoy his blessings and everything that God has made with the taste buds and us eating it, he allowed us to enjoy the different taste of different things that he provided for us to let us see that everything wasn't the same taste, that everything had its own unique taste. So, you know, that's something I never even, you know, thought about. You know, we were saying last week about how, you know, he gave us lungs. He created the air, you know, and these are things you never even think about, how he created our digestive system, you know, to digest the intake of our food and our water, and it's just so many things that he brought out in this chapter, and everything he makes is beautiful. You know, even the word talks about, you know, how he made us. And we're wonderfully made. And when we look around, everything else is so wonderfully made. Because when, you know, the springtime comes, the trees begin to bloom. And we don't see it blooming, you know, naturally looking at it, seeing it. But it's amazing how you look tonight, there's nothing, and tomorrow there's something.
Yeah.
So,
You know. And then when you were reading that verse about he gives some to others. He blesses us all. He gives some to others, and then others he blesses more abundantly, but he still blesses all of us. And,
yes.
And the bottom line is that none of us deserve it. Although sometimes I think people think that God, you know, that they deserve it, and he should. I don't want to go into the next chapter.
Amen.
he just brings out, you know, so many things that you never, well, let me say this,
right.
Never even really give thought of, you know. One part I was saying to the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, we are some strange creatures, because we know that you're all singing, but when we were in our sins, it was like we didn't even remember that you saw everything.
Yeah, amen. There you go.
The light in the dark, you could see.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, Father, forgive me. You know, just things that you read and things that come to mind. You have to stop and ask God to forgive you for your ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, and it just brings, he just really hit on so many areas, you know, that causes you to thank him, causes you to repent, causes you to reverence him. It's just a wonder. And as I've said in the past, how God uses different ones to expound about him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for Jeremiah. You know, how God has endowed him with his wisdom and his love for us to even write, you know, this book.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to reach the people for the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you. You know what? I as you were speaking, I was reminded of the passage in his book where he shared about the fact in the world, you know, there's summer, winter, spring, and fall in different places. There's hot, there's cold, snow, rain, no snow, sun.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he did. You know, I love it because it shows how God gave us all things and then allowed us to choose. If you want to live somewhere hot, then you go here. You want to live somewhere cold.
Right.
So it wasn't, he just made a world that was all one thing. It could have been just perfect weather, but he gave us such a variety because he respects and he loves us, and he gave us an abundant goodness to be able to choose the type of environment. So there are some things he says he's concerned about, everything that concerns us. And so he understood how he made us and that we needed to be stimulated in certain ways like this. So if you love snow, I used to wonder who would live, you know, on the North Pole. That just don't make sense to me. You know, I love snow. But there's some people, that's what they love to do. So they're able to do it. You don't like it, then you move to Florida. You know, if you just want sun and water, you go to California. You want it dry, you go to Arizona. He created a world that has a spot in it for everybody. And he customized a whole world for every person that he knew before they were formed in their mother's womb. He customized a place for them. That's the kind of extravagance Father that we have.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know, I like where he was talking about Robin Crusoe, Robinson Crusoe, on the island, and he wrote about his confidence in God, how, you know, at one moment, you know, he was enjoying the provision of the Lord and thanking him and what have you. And then one day he finds footprints on the island. And so it causes his confidence in God to kind of dwindle, you know, even though everything that God had been doing before, you know, his faith was, up there, and he became fearful. And then the one day the Lord allowed him to meet this man face to face. But he talks about, he said, all that former confidence in God, which was founded upon such wonderful experience as I had had of his goodness, now vanished, as if he who had fed me miracles hitherto could not preserve by his power the provision which he had made for me by his goodness. And I think sometimes that's what happens to us, you know, when things come into our life or we're faced with things that we cause ourselves to become, we let that thing stand in the midst of what we know God has done in the past. It's almost like we let that thing wipe all that out, and we can't see past what we're facing now to trust him.
Accurate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that that's why this book, The God You May Not Know, because just like with Robinson Crusoe, he lost it, but he got it. You know, there's a place that it has to be brought back to us, and brought back to us in a from a perspective that we never had before. That's that looking at the picture string on close, and then backing up and raising up and looking at it from an angle. You see different things. You understand differently, more fully. You know, you're coming into the fullness thereof. So wonderful, wonderful insight and sharing. Yes, ma'am. I hear you, Evangelist.
I thought about anchoring.
Anchoring. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what this is. And sometimes you got to tighten the anchor, okay, to steady the boat. Sometimes the anchor is too far, and you need to tighten it up. And that's what this is, tightening it up, getting close to it, the anchor. Very, very good.
He gone too? I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
Let me mute my phone.
Okay. Amen. Amen. So anybody else, questions, insights, revelations, comments?
First comment on right at the beginning of the book when it talks about our ability or inability to determine good and evil, you know, good from evil. Spoke about Isaiah 5:20, because I think one of the things that, you know, as things accelerate so quickly and the values, the cultural values seem to change, like, right around you. It's like, when do people start doing this? Or when do people start accepting that? Or, you know, not questioning things that seem like for my entire life had been, you know, very clear, one way or the other, good or bad or black or white. So when that Isaiah 5:20, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It just made me think about the whole idea that we can't just co-sign, and sometimes our silence, I won't say sometimes, I think all times, that our silence, when we know something is not right, and we say, okay, look, that's just how they do this stuff now. That's just what the, you know, and just resign ourselves to that, but to know that God still has a standard, you know, and good is good and evil is evil. And I just think that as the body of Christ, we have to make sure that we are not found compromising in that way, but we just go along and get along. So, I mean, that was kind of what, I guess, what jumped out at me, you know. And then also it was helpful to have all those God is good scriptures right there. You know, you hear them all the time. They're in your heart. But it's like, okay, where was that? Oh, okay. So it's like, okay, this is six there. Along with that Bible memorization might help, you know, be something to just jot down, you know, and just write down, you know, on the side of the margin, you know, for something just to remind how good God is, even though things seem to be, you know, every day somebody's indicted. Every day there seems to be a new conflict. You know, all kinds of other things. But, you know, God is good, and he is still good, and he is still sovereign. That's just an observation. That's all. But good luck.
Amen.
Love the way you explained
it. Even when you were speaking, go ahead.
No, I think that was just the end of me that you heard me say. When Pastor Norwood said thank you or you welcome me, I think it was just the end. You just heard the end of the comment delay.
Because I was thinking, I lost that thought. Don't worry about it. They come and they go. What a blessing. Oh, I know. When we say, you know, I always hear, you know, when I think about the goodness and what, you know, and it's something we say, but just like you were saying, it becomes too commonplace. It becomes, you know, something to say. And, oh, yeah, I remember when I said that, oh, yeah, and then the church really broke out and yada, yada. But when we say, think of the goodness, then, you know, we just need to just almost worship. You know, stand in awe of his goodness, what does it look like? Oh, my God. And all of these things flood us. And that's the worship. That's the worship that comes from us. Not that we know, turn to your neighbor or say hallelujah, because we wait, okay, now I'm going to say and say hallelujah. You know, say what it urges out of you. Give a new praise. Give a new shout out. We're talking about the sound. Give a new sound of worship, you know, when you think of those things.
I think that our memory is so short on the blessings and the mercy and grace that God has extended. And I won't say we, I'll say me, that, like, when you say, when people say, well, think of the goodness, that, I mean, you hear that all the time. And I definitely know as I was a young woman growing up and hearing that, I'm like, okay, yeah, God is good. I'm still here. My folks still here. And it's all good, you know, it's hunky-dory. But then you get old and go through some stuff, and you really, when it says think of, you know, you start thinking of them near misses, you know, them folks that you thought were gone that God has still allowed to be in your life, or those near car accidents and, you know, people saying, you know, I just literally dodged the bullet, or, you know, I had myself in a terrible circumstance, and God still delivered me. You know, knowing that I walked headlong willingly into something ridiculous, you know, and God still allowed me to be able to come out on the other side. So I think it is, I think we need to really reflect on when we say God is good and when it says when we think of. Because to me, there should never be a time that somebody says, like, reflect on that we can't get back to that place. Because if we really acknowledge what God has done, That should take us there every time, you know what I mean? We should just have a contrite heart, knowing that, you know, like it says, he protects us. Not only is he patient with us, but protect yeah. us long suffering. It's like, you know, how many times have I broken that vow to you, Lord? You know, how many times right. do you still, you know, allow mm-hmm. or, you know, not only patience, you know, but protection as well that, you know.
Amen.
That is true, you know.
Absolutely.
And I like the scripture where he says in Psalms 34, 8, oh, that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And yeah. What I see in that is that no matter what circumstances, no matter where we go through, he is always good, and he's always faithful. And when we can taste and see him in that way, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He sustains us. He give us what we need. And as we draw closer to him and draw near to God, he draws near to us. And we don't have to waver back and forth anymore because he is good. And he's the only thing that we need when we completely walk totally, you know, with him, regardless of what is going on. And it's just awesome when we taste and see his goodness.
Amen. All right. Well, praise God. Wonderful insights that you share in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. And I am so glad that you joined us today. We seem to have a very sunny day and a pretty good weekend coming. So be sure to worship and to give him his due every day, not just on Sunday. So there's a lot of interesting things going on. You're definitely invited to Laborers on Sunday for Theater Day. It should be unique and good and a different kind of experience. And then we want to remember all of those who are bereaved and all of the sheep who have lost their shepherd, earthly shepherd, and we want to remember their families. And stand in the gap for him, stand on the wall for him, because the enemy would think that now they're defenseless. Let the enemy know that, no, two or three have come together, and we will put a 10,000 to flight. And so we want to just remember our traveling apostle. Anytime she travels, we like to lift her up and cover her. Mm-hmm. She's in what my grandson calls Sin City. And when they arrive, he says, uh-oh, I'm here now. I didn't know what that meant. So keep him lifted up in prayer. God bless the little young man. And so we will be back. They will be back on Sunday. Oh, I see tomorrow. But the funeral is today, probably right now. So we just want to lift that community up, because they were community ministry, and great portion of the right. So we should get off the phone, and I think we can go to the funeral online.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely, you would have to look at your email, because I have to check it. I don't know exactly what the code and all that stuff is. But do know, embrace, and obey, and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much for joining. See you next week. Well,
amen.
Talk to you.
Amen. Amen. Bless
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.